Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
What is going down? Hey, I'm so happy you're here today. Thank you for joining me today on The Chalene Show. We will be talking about breast implant illness and CBD oil, both with my friend, millennial marketing maven, Angie Lee.
Welcome to The Chalene Show. Chalene is a New York Times bestselling author, celebrity fitness trainer, and obsessed with helping you live your dream life.
Yo, I don't know if you listen to Build Your Tribe, but there's no reason why you shouldn't. It's the podcast you need to listen to if you're interested in trying to find a way to live a bigger, fuller life. How to create additional income, passive income. Now, if you are a regular listener, you probably heard the episode that Brett and I did where we talked about how it is we go about selecting speakers for our events. Okay, so as we're going through this process this year, I reach out to all of, you know, my top friends and people, associates, people in the industry whose opinion I really trust. And one name kept coming up. It was Angie Lee. And like the third or fourth time I heard her name, and by the way, what I was asking for, I'm like, I need a really powerful, strong, authentic, but like down to earth and fun and like, you know, super relatable female. I want a female who can teach the mindset around marketing, like, you know, helping people get over that block that so many women I find have when it comes to earning additional income. And so anyways, Angie's name kept coming up over and over again. And a couple of people were like, you know what? You'll love her. She's like a little mini version of you. Well, I have to tell you, I take that as a compliment because I did not have my stuff together like this young lady does at her age. I think she's like 29 years old, but you would never guess it because she's done so much already. She's a seven-figure earner. She's a sought-after business coach. She is a top-ranking podcaster. Her show is called The Angie Lee Show. And really what she likes to do is help women understand what it takes to create a breakthrough in their life, a breakthrough in their business. She's the co-founder of a CBD company called Soul. She's a public speaker. She puts on her own event called It Pays to Be Brave. And she's just one of those people who's very, very authentic, just relatable. And she's a Midwestern girl with, you know, big blue eyes and very sweet and very kind and just honest and authentic and doesn't put on airs. Just a really cool chick. And I know you guys are going to love her. So anyways, Angie and I are getting to know each other. We're spending a lot of time talking and texting and getting together at networking events. And I love her approach to health and wellness too. We're like super aligned there. And so I, you know, learn a little bit more about her CBD company and start taking some of her CBD oils. And then I learn that sometime last summer, she had her breast implants removed. And I was like, okay, this is a story that many of you have been asking about. And you've been asking about CBD oil. So let's get her on the show and talk about both of those things. Angie Lee, it's about time you're here.
I'm excited. I'm so excited to be here.
I've been looking forward to this day for a couple of weeks, actually more than that, because we had it scheduled and then we had to reschedule it, which was totally cool with me. And I've had kind of a crazy busy couple of weeks. And I sent you a text yesterday, the day before. I said, we're going to play and we're going to go for a bike ride. Mm-hmm. So we still have to do that.
Yes. I'm always down for play.
Yes. So if you aren't a subscriber to The Angie Lee Show, you need to. Her podcast, if you like my podcast, you will love her podcast. And she's just a little dynamo. She's incredibly, and well, you guys already heard the intro of Angie. So I think we should probably just like jump into the content.
Let's do it.
Because yeah. I know people have been asking for this. This particular content, both. And I thought, we can kill two birds with one stone. So we're going to talk today a little bit about CBD, and we're going to talk about breast implant illness.
Yeah.
Let's start with breast implant illness. Yeah. So talk to us about, when did you get breast augmentation?
Yeah. I was 19 years old when I had 330 saline implants implanted into my body. I was competing in bikini shows.
Oh.
And my mentality at the time was, this is what will help me to win. This is what will help me to feel pretty and sexy and to attract men. And I was 19. This is exactly 10 years ago. I'm 29 now. And
were you flat chested all your life? Did you have boobs and then lose them?
I was a gymnast for 20 years. So I have a very typical gymnast body where they have a very muscular physique, but no boobs at all.
Okay.
Right. And so now I actually do, though, kind of. I mean, maybe then I was exaggerating. Who knows what I was thinking 10 years ago, right? I saw a girl in a Victoria's Secret magazine. I thought, Mom, I want to look like her. My mom said, wait a year, come back to me. If you still want to do this, we can consider it. And that's when I started to get into holistic health, but not as much as I am now. And I'm a freak about everything from my water to everything I eat and EMFs. And I'm a psychobiohacker now. But then I really wasn't. And so I just thought, you know what? If this makes me look better, I'm just going to do it. I don't care about any of the implications. I'm jumping all in. I met with a doctor. I showed him a picture of a Victoria's Secret model. And he said, okay, is this what you want to look like? I said, I want to be her, you know? And women listening, you've been in this situation where you think if you hand a picture, it's like the girls at the hairstylist.
Like,
I want to look like her. It's right. Like, it's just the hair color. You're not
actually going to look like her, you know? Not miracle workers over here.
You're like handing her a picture of a supermodel. But I got them in. And it wasn't until a few years in, you know, initially they were great. I liked them, of course. I thought they were fun or whatever. I don't know, I've always kind of been a tomboy. So when I really look back at it, I don't really know how much I actually appreciated them or really thought that they were that fantastic. It didn't really change my relationship with men. I mean, at the end of the day, they didn't really care. So I think I went into it with a lot more expectations of how much it would change my life and my confidence.
Mm.
And I know you teach on confidence. So ladies, if you're doing it just for the fact that you think it's going to change your life, newsflash, it won't.
Right.
And that's where it gets tricky with these things, right? If it really helps you to show up powerfully, then yes. But if not, then I think it's a waste of time and money. So about 8 years in, so this is about 2 years ago, I started noticing some weird ailments. Now, I never made the correlation because I didn't know. I just thought, oh, well, they're just these. Obviously, I knew there were plastic bags inside my body, but I didn't really think about what they could be doing to my immune system. And I was scrolling on Facebook one day. And sometimes God comes to us through Facebook and Instagram.
Yes, he does.
And I saw these girls posting about it. And I was like, you know what? This is silly. This is only a year ago. So this is very recent. I was like, this is whatever.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I got them out on July 4th, 4th of July.
Oh,
that was the only appointment that
gosh.
Was open because the wait list for this doctor in Newport Beach, actually. So near where we are right now. And I saw this post. I thought, whatever. I don't know what this is. What is this girl talking about? Few months later, saw it again. I just kept seeing it. I'm like, what is this? And I always had little weird health conditions and things come up, but I never associated it.
Remember what some of those things were?
Yeah. So a lot of them were, I was getting random joint pain.
Okay.
Which is super weird. A lot of weird like hair and scalp conditions, my skin. Like if you see before and after pictures, my skin is completely different. My joint pain went away.
Can you describe your skin?
Like what it was like?
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember. It was more, honestly, just breaking out more. It was like dry. It was like a rosacea almost.
So pretty unpredictable.
Yeah, pretty unpredictable. And I always had pains, obviously, like up in my chest, like from the weight of them. But I never realized what that was. I was like, oh, I'm just always really sore from working out. So a lot of pains from them. And I kept seeing these posts. But again, I didn't make the correlation at all. And then I reached out to this girl one day and I said, hey, what's going on? What is this? I'm super open-minded. Let me do research on this. I want to learn more. Just like you, I was really wanting to see the research. And so I jumped inside this Facebook group. It's called Breast Implant Illness by Nicole. There are about 80,000 women in there right now. And that's women who are being vocal about it. You have to keep in mind. And they're basically sharing their experience. Now, of course, this can be super overwhelming. So you have to go in with caution and know everybody's situation is different, of course. Mm-hmm. And I've always been a very healthy person. So keep in mind that I went into it very healthy with a strong immune system. Now, if someone has a compromised immune system, anytime you stick a foreign object in your body has to attack that foreign object every single day, 24/7. Doesn't know what it
is. That's right. I mean, think about what it does for a sliver. The teeniest, tiniest, microscopic fragment of wood, and your body will go, get out.
Yeah. What do you think it's going to do with a saline bag that's coated in silicone, which is filled with a lot of different chemicals? And it every single day, it's almost like an alert system. I see it like knocking at the door, right? Your immune system's like, what's going on? And I jumped inside this group. I saw a lot of the before and afters. I'm like, what? This is insane. There's women who have had them in for 30 years and never got them replaced. And they're like on their deathbed. Like, this is insanity. So I got out of it a bit. Then I went back in. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to go to speak to some doctors about this and see what they
say. Was it reading about the symptoms that made you feel like, I wonder if this is what's going on? Because to be honest, from what you've described, it doesn't
sound
like it could be a lot of things. And also doesn't sound like debilitating.
No, it was never debilitating, but it was enough for someone who was as healthy as I was. It still didn't make sense, some of these things. The brain fog here and there, it just didn't make sense. Mm-hmm. And so I remember thinking to myself, I'm going to ask some of these doctors, I'm going to ask naturopathic doctors, because I'd rather hear their side of it. And I just wanted a whole holistic viewpoint of what was going on. And I went to Dr. Chun in Newport, and I went in and I asked him, and I said, here's my situation. I'm 29. I want to have kids. I don't really want to keep updating these every 10 years. I hate anesthesia. I hate surgery. I don't want to go under every 5-10 years. I was under the impression that these were permanent. Now that I'm doing my research, you're not supposed to keep these in your body that long. So what am I supposed to do? And what have you seen? And I wish I would have had my microphone, the podcast for me, wishes it was legal to record him at that moment. But of course, he probably wouldn't have done it. But
why don't you have him on your show now?
I know, right? Yeah. I should. Yeah, I should bring Dr. Chun on. A lot of women now are interviewing these doctors on this, but some of them make a lot of money from the other side. So they don't want to obviously be open about it. It's very controversial. And I said, what have you seen? What's going on? And he said, Angie, all I can tell you are two things. One, I morally will not put implants in a woman's body anymore after what I've seen. And he said, number two, 87%, or it was some weird stat, 87% of the women who come back to me, all of their symptoms are gone within a few months or very shortly. He said, so I can't legally tell you right now that this is what's causing it. We may never know, but all I know is that by you keeping it in, you won't ever know for sure, right? I saw it as I had two options. I keep them in, like live my life and that's fine, or listen to my gut, my intuition and say, well, if I'm rolling the dice, I might as well just take them out if I don't really care about them anymore anyway.
Yeah.
And so it was like, you have option A or option
B. Were you in a relationship at that time?
I was with my ex.
Okay.
And so I brought it up to him and I said, I don't think I want these anymore. I don't know what's going on, but I started to feel this sensation that they weren't part of me and almost like they were these foreign like bags like on me. And I would have this feeling of wanting to rip them off almost. Like I felt very disconnected from them. And I'm a very gut intuition person. And my intuition was super clear of like, this is not what you need anymore. I'm not the same girl as who I was when I was 19. Yeah. So it's not something I would do today. I'm like, is this in alignment with my brand, my morals, my health morals? Does this feel right? Could this be the reason for some of my health conditions? I want to have kids. It just didn't match up anymore.
Was your curiosity?
He was pretty supportive though. So.
Oh, he was.
Mm-hmm. Okay, oh yeah, of course. He was great about it. Yeah,
he was. And so he was supportive of, I want to get back and ask you, don't let me forget, whether you were talking about this decision you were making in social media or was it one you were having privately?
Yeah, I said to him, I showed him a lot of the research. I showed him a lot of the articles. I showed him this Facebook group. I was showing him this material. And I remember, and he was a great guy. He is a great guy. It didn't work out for other reasons. But I remember saying to him, I don't want to take the risk of this not being healthy during breastfeeding. I really want to breastfeed. And I don't know yet, right? Is there enough research about that? And I want to be this like holistic mom who's like having their kid like in a bathtub. Like, you know, it's probably not going to happen. My pain tolerance is zero. But I was like, what if there's a chance that there's something that could happen? And he said, well, if this is that important to you, which I know it is, you're obsessed with the water you drink. I can't imagine you being okay going to bed at night knowing there's this foreign plastic inside your body. If it's important to you, then I'll love you regardless. It doesn't matter. I don't care about your boobs.
And how was he afterwards?
He was actually awesome about it. He was the first guy who saw them when I ripped off the bandage. And I was sitting there in the office. I told the guy, I don't want to see him yet. It was the day after surgery or 2 days after. You go back in. I didn't want to see it. I was really nervous. And he was sitting in front of me, though. I'm like, are you sure you want to be there? He's like, I don't care. Whatever it is, it is. Like, such an amazing guy, obviously, right? So I peeled off the bandage and he goes, oh, it's not that bad. Like, it's not that bad. It's like what every girl wants the guy to say to you when you're naked in front of him. It's not that bad. And the doctor said to me, because you're young.
Now,
you're-
did you say in publicly in social media, okay, this is where I'm going
to? Oh, yeah. I made a post about that I was about to do it. And I almost did that just to keep myself accountable because I was terrified. I hate surgery. I thought it's easier just to keep them in. But again, this isn't like a zit that's just going to go away. You either have to get them out at some point. You can't live with them forever. So I really felt the sensation of I was up against a wall of like, I don't really have a choice. Let me just do it now. Get them out before I have kids. I'm young. My skin is elastic. I'm in shape, like as healthy as I could be. Yes, I have some of these ailments, but let me just like get them out. Like I was just at the point where I was done then after months and months of sitting on it and thinking about it and stressing about it. Right. And so I went on his wait list. His wait list is astronomical right now. I've sent him so many people now from that episode. My episode almost basically went viral, the BII episode. So it blew up. And a lot of these other influencers now talking about it. It's going crazy. So all these doctors' wait lists are insane. So I was on the wait list and she called me and she's like, do you want to come in Tuesday? It's the 4th of July. I wasn't ready, but I was like, oh my God, okay, let's do this. I cried before I went in, but I thought about my commitment that I publicly announced to my audience. I was like, I'm doing this. This is what feels right for my health. I'm going to do it. And again, while you ladies are listening to this episode, if you have them, this isn't any judgment if someone has them. I obviously did have them not that long ago. But again, it's just to know that sometimes what we think we're doing is okay and healthy isn't. Right. And that's just the health industry. And it's something that a lot of plastic surgeons don't want you to know. The only person you're listening to is your plastic surgeon who's driving away in his Ferrari after the appointment. I mean, just, I think it's important to take assessment of all different, you know, angles of this. And at the end of the day, listen to your gut and your intuition. My whole take on this is I could ask a ton of MDs, a ton of NDs. Most of them agreed it's probably not safe. But at the end of the day, I had to sit there and say to myself, do I think it's safe to have this in my body? Just a gut check. Just a intuition. I'm a smart girl. Do I think it's safe to have a plastic foreign object in my body for 10 years? And my answer is just no. So that's how I made my decision, you know? And I think a lot of times when it comes to health and wellness, we're so obsessed with doing almost so much research instead of just saying, does this feel right for me anymore? Right. And so if you're listening to this and you have that gut calling, then go with it. If you don't, then do more research or, you know, it's up to you. It's your body, your life. So went in, did it. All I can tell you is the moment I woke up, I remember thinking like, oh my God, the books are off my chest.
Really? So you felt relieved.
Breathing was different. So working out's so much fun without boobs because like you can like, woo, like you can do burpees and stuff. You can bounce around. It's so great. You're like free. My mom said I was obviously a little screwed up on the drugs, but my mom said I just kept saying like, I can breathe. I can breathe. Like I'm able to breathe this like deeply and so long, which is so great because there wasn't weight on my chest because I had pretty big boobs, I guess you could say, 330cc, like a really big C for my frame, and you're tiny too, can be a lot. So the things that changed immediately again were my skin, my joint pain. I haven't had joint pain since July 4th. No joke. I swear my mom's life. That's insane. And then my pupils. You'll see like, not my pupils, the white around my eye.
Yeah.
It's cleaner.
They are very bright.
They're very bright. And so that's a huge sign of when your immune system is suppressed, eyes will have more of like a yellow tone to them.
Interesting.
And a lot of the women in this group will show you their eyes before and after. Within 48 hours of surgery, my eyes, I have a before and after, they're white. And so little stuff that again, you're like, that's not a big deal. That's a huge deal. That means your immune system was basically fighting something. And you can tell the sign of youth from someone by their eye color a lot and their eyes say a lot. So it's been great. It was a great decision. It was very easy to get them out. I didn't take any painkillers. I did it very holistically with CBD as one of my natural painkillers. The process was easy. It was great. I can only say great things about it. And
can you tell us, generally speaking, what that procedure, how much that costs?
Yeah, it cost me $6,000. That was without a lift. So with the lift, and this is in Newport Beach, California, the lift would have been another 4K, so that would have been about 6 to 10K is what you're looking at. I chose not to get a lift because I'm going to have children, so my boobs are going to get big and saggy, you know what I'm saying? Probably, hopefully, we'll see. And then it would have been a waste of time and money just to have them tightened.
Oh, I see.
So he told me.
So maybe later.
Yeah, he was like, most of the women who get a lift and tighten the skin up are the women who already are done having kids. So to be honest with you, I don't want to rip you off another 4K. You might as well just let them get bigger and whatever happens when you're pregnant. So again, and now there's things such as fat transplant. I don't know enough about that yet to speak on that, but I think what's going to happen, and I hope what's going to happen, is there will be other alternatives. But yeah, I love who I am more. It's very interesting. I feel more Angie. I feel more me. And it's cool to be in those situations now where I see friends or family or loved ones who see me now and they're like, you just look healthier. You look better, less inflammation. A lot of my inflammation went down. I was holding a lot of water weight. And they say, it's just you. Like, that is you. Like, little, it's just you. And so I think at the end of the day, it's a good decision when it makes you feel more like you.
So I want to address this because I know my audience, most of them know that I have breast implants.
Yeah. How long have you had them now?
Well, this is like my second set. So I've done the replacement. Mm. My second set. Sounds like, I don't know, like a pair of lashes or something. Yeah. For me, I always had big breasts. Like, I developed really young and...
Oh, you naturally have big boobs.
Yeah. You know, I remember getting teased for that because I developed early.
And,
but yet, that was you know, part of who I was. And then after my first baby, like, you know, they're just completely deflated, empty tube socks with rocks in the bottoms. It's kind of different, I think, when you've, if you have big boobs naturally and then you nurse. For me anyways, they were just like, oh my gosh, what are these? I think part of it is trend too. Like, I never got them like for my husband or anyone else. I always got them because everything I wore didn't look right. I always say I got them for fashion reasons, which is horribly shallow.
Which makes sense.
You know, so feel free to judge. But when I moved here to Southern California, I literally thought, so do you have to get breast implants to teach fitness classes? Because every single woman had them. And that was just the norm. Everyone had them here, and they kept getting them bigger and bigger and bigger. Of course, I didn't do that. I just went in and said, here's what I look like before. Can you make them close to this? Then I had them, you know, replaced at, I think, I don't know, maybe the 8-year mark or something like that. I never loved having big boobs. When I did have big boobs, I always thought I wish they were smaller.
So if you would have had tiny boobs, you probably would have never got them, right?
I don't know.
Fashion looks good with little boobs now too.
That's now it does. Variant. But at the time, like, it was Pamela Anderson and everyone had, and that was the fashion. That's you just wore, like, you know, big boobs and sundresses, and just didn't, like, you'd try to, like, stuff a bra with a sundress, didn't look right. Now it's like that natural look is so much more in, and I'm so happy about that, because girls, they're not choosing that surgery anymore. In fact, I talked to a plastic surgeon who I'm hoping to have on the show soon, and one of her most common requests is women coming in to either have them removed or to go much, much smaller. To be honest, I haven't thought much about completely removing them. Yeah. I'm going to be honest and say, if I was having a lot of symptoms, maybe I would. And the symptoms I was having before certainly translate into breast implant illness.
Yeah.
Like, when I hear all of the same symptoms or the symptoms I was experiencing when I was having leaky gut, et cetera.
Yep.
So, and because I have relief from them, maybe that's one of the reasons why I don't feel compelled to have them removed. But I definitely, definitely would love to have them, you know, to do something where they were smaller, maybe something more natural, to do a fat transfer. But I mean, I get a lot of messages from people that are, they just come for me. They're like, how can you call yourself a health and wellness expert and you've got those bags in your chest? You should be ashamed of yourself. So save your DMs and save your emails, sister, because it is a personal decision. And I certainly wouldn't consider myself an expert or someone to speak on this, but I believe that each of us has a different autoimmune response.
Yep.
Like, some of us have an autoimmune response to certain foods, certain toxins, and that can also be accumulative.
Yep.
I'm just having an open mind to it. And my girlfriends, we all, you know, got them at the same time, all about the same size. And now we're all like, enough with these things. Like, it's just not, I don't mean to make it sound so shallow, like, about fashion.
Yeah.
But if you look at butts, like, there's a style of butt right now that's in. And I think a lot of those women are now, like, 10 years from now, they're going to be having their implants from their butts removed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Dude, it's so unnatural. And P.S., just so you guys know, most of what you're seeing on Instagram is actually not their butts. It's Facetune.
Yeah, yeah.
Facetune, dude.
Dude, that's not their butt.
That is not their butt.
Yeah, I think you're coming from a great place of, you know, and you're open-minded, you're a health expert, so you're looking at both sides, and then you'll know. I think it's a gut and an intuition thing. Maybe you do it one day. Who knows, right? And it was interesting because that post on Facebook then did, that was by far the most insane. I think it had 15,000 shares, like, crazy, the comments on it. I got to go find it now and see what the updates are. I've never seen a post go so viral like that of mine, and it was insane. 98% of it was very positive. 2% of it was some creepy dudes who I'm like, Steve, why are you commenting this? You know, like, I like my wife's boobs. Leave her alone. I'm like, what? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about health right now. But thanks, Steve.
But did you have any negative feedback from women?
It was one of the best things I did for my brand, honestly. Oh. Because women wrote me and were like, I liked you. Now I love you. Because you're just like, because you are me and you represent, like, you didn't need it to be, you know? So it was a relatability point. That's obviously not why I did it. I was nervous. I wasn't going to actually share at all. I was like, I don't know.
Huh.
And then I was talking to some friends. They're like, no, I think you share this. I think you share this because you're passionate about it. I think you share it because it's part of who you are and it's your journey. Own it. So I just owned it. And I didn't know that it would explode then. And then I got all these new funnel of women coming in from other people's accounts who were then resharing the picture of me holding the bags and stuff. So it was crazy.
Hey, okay, this will only take a second. It's a true story. If you follow me on social media, you have watched this happen. So I love living in my yoga tights. Of course, I try to make it look like an outfit, but let's face it, yoga tights are now not just for people who work out, right? They're super comfortable. They're way more comfortable than jeans, and you can run your errands in them, etc. So let's just say I have a lot of them. And it's kind of been my pet peeve because the price of workout wear is ridiculous, and they never seem to fit me right. So, you know, I'm spending like $110 on a pair of leggings. Are you kidding me? Only to have them not fit me right, and I have to like cut off the bottoms and then have them taken in. It's ridiculous. So I've been seeing these ads for Fabletics. So I just put it out there. I went on my Instagram stories and I'm like, well, have you guys used or bought Fabletics before? And what do you think? And the response was overwhelming, like, love them, love them, love them. You're going to die. They're so great. I was pretty impressed. So I immediately went on and, okay, I'm not going to lie, I ordered 10 pairs. And I figured if I don't love them, because I've got this great return policy, I can return all of them. But I wanted to try all the different styles. I wanted to try the high-waisted pairs. I wanted to try the ones that looked like they had a shorter inseam. I wanted to try the ones with the little pocket on the thigh. I wanted to try them all. And because of their killer return policy, I knew I had nothing to lose. Amazing. You guys, I'm tripping. 2 days later, I went through all of my other leggings and I threw out or donated all the other pairs that were driving me crazy, but I've donated all of them. You definitely want to try Fabletics. Here's the deal. You, because you are a member of the Chalene audience, get up to 50% off the regular price when you become a VIP. You definitely want to do that eventually. But if you just want to check them out, you can check out as a guest. Now, here's how it works. You go to their website. I really appreciate Fabletics for becoming one of our sponsors. As you know, I'm not going to ever mention anything to you that I don't personally use or love, for that matter. So you go to their website, fabletics.com/Chalene, take a quick 60-second pop-up quiz. And that's important because it's going to help you narrow down your choices. Then here's the deal. You get 2 pairs of leggings. Are you sitting down for this? For $24. And when you get them, you're going to be blown away. I mean, the quality is insane. I would dare say better than some of the tights I've paid over $100 for. I have 2 favorites so far. It's the Solar and the ones, I'm not sure what they're called, but they have a little pocket on the side, on the hip. Holy cow, I love those because when I'm working out, I don't have to carry my phone around. I just stick it in my little pocket. But out of all the pairs that I ordered, I liked every single one of them. I didn't even return 1 pair. And I got a couple of their tanks too. And I can't remember the names of them right now, but I'll show you on social media. Anyways, this won't be the last time you'll hear about Fabletics. Go get yourself 2 pairs for $24 by going to fabletics.com/Chalene. All right, now back to the show. So you've talked to women who've gone through the surgery.
Yeah, I have a few good girlfriends now who've done it.
Do any of them share that they, in their honest, you know, vulnerable moments, that there are times when they feel less attractive, less feminine, if they've had them and then now they don't?
You know, it's funny. No, I'm sure there are some in the Facebook group. I mean, there's hundreds of, or there are what, 80,000 in there or something right now. But every girl that I know who's done it so far, we've all are extremely happy with it. I feel more sexy. I feel more like me. I feel more like I love it. Like,
that's,
I feel
so encouraging.
Yeah. So I think it's interesting. And I have a few friends, my friend Sarah, who did it, who was very, very sick, horrible autoimmune condition. I mean, it was getting really, really bad. And so to see
that
she's
happier and
healthier. And many of the
symptoms mimic Lyme disease.
They do mimic Lyme, which is interesting. So she's doing fantastic now. She's published a lot of things about it that went pretty viral. So it's great. There's nothing, I don't know. I mean, to see her look youthful and to see her actually have, you know, a functioning body and bright skin, and she just looks better and healthier. You could tell her system is healthier. So I would say majority of them feel better. Again, I'm sure maybe there's some women at first. The first week or two was weird because I was like, what is going on? And they're like, they were bruised and they weren't as good looking. But now I'm used to it and it's fine. And I don't.
So you never have a moment where you're like, oh gosh, in this dress, I sure wish.
No, I wish maybe they were like a tad bit like perkier, I guess. But at the same time, I'm like, oh, whatever. I don't know.
Okay.
No, I don't think about it. Isn't it? I don't think about it twice.
No, I think it's fantastic.
I left that hospital bed. I woke up. I looked at the nurse and I said, oh my God, I'm free. And I just started crying.
I'm so proud of you.
You just got to know if you're. Here's my biggest thing. I'm afraid of anesthesia. I hate it. Like, freaks me out so much. Like, it's one of my biggest fears. So when he was like, do you want to keep updating these? I was like, no, I can't.
Yeah.
I can't see myself updating them every, like, then when I'm 40, then when I'm 50, then when I'm 60.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
How but did again. Your pain management, you mm. turned to CBD? And I get so many questions here on the show about CBD oil. I think we need to start at the beginning to help people understand the difference between CBD and THC.
Yeah. Yeah. So the cannabis plant has two parts to it. It has a feminine and a male part. They call it the female and the male part of the plant. And THC is the part that gets you high. This is the hallucinogenic aspect of marijuana. This is where people will tell you they got stoned, they got high. This is what THC is. And then this beautiful cannabis plant that is super healing, there's another aspect to it, which is the CBD. So if you extract just purely the CBD, you're getting all of the medicinal benefits of cannabis without getting high, which is amazing, especially for you people listening who know that cannabis has been something that's helped people with disease, Alzheimer's, cancer, all these things, but they don't want to be high. So CBD, cannabidiol, is the compound that's found in the cannabis plant with all the benefits without actually having the psychoactive properties, which is amazing. You know, you've taken it. Yeah, you've taken Soul, where it's one of the things.
You're my dealer.
And that's what's so beautiful about it. And I think that we live in a time where the irony is there's a bar on every corner and that's not seen as harmful and toxic, right? Even though alcohol is so toxic for your body and your liver, yet something that is a plant, it's natural, there's virtually zero side effects, is now still taboo to talk about or is controversial.
I guess that's what I don't understand. So it's just a misunderstanding.
Oh, it's a complete misunderstanding because it's from the plant. Ours is all hemp derived, which is great. And we have zero THC. So some will have a little bit in there. That's called full spectrum. Ours is pure isolate, which means that we guarantee on a drug test, 100% we guarantee, not like, oh, we kind of guarantee. We guarantee you'll pass any drug test. The most difficult test. And we did that because we wanted to make a pure isolate where if you're a teacher, you're a nurse, you're a doctor, any profession where you're drug tested a lot, an athlete. My brother's a professional athlete. He cannot risk, obviously, not passing. We wanted to make sure we had a pure isolate. I was introduced to it a few years ago. I had anxiety and I was like, I was open to taking anything except for pharmaceuticals. At this point, you guys probably could tell I'm a hippie who didn't want to take pharmaceuticals. And my brother was a professional athlete who was in a lot of pain and was looking for alternatives instead of ibuprofen, Advil, and just pumping Tylenol all day.
And your brother is a co-partner in Soul CBD.
Yeah.
And a professional boxer.
Yeah, he's a professional boxer. His name is Mike Lee. And so he came to me one day and Mike said, you love CBD. I love CBD. We should share this with our audiences. We should get into this. This is an incredible business to get into. It's helped us so much. What do you think? And I had been wanting to come out with a physical product. And so I was like, this is it. Let's do this. And
how do you source it?
Our farm is in Kentucky. And so we white label with an amazing producer out there who produces for some of the top CBD lines. So we wanted to make sure it was American soil, 100% organic, zero THC, the highest quality. We were really picky. So we traveled around for a while to find the producer we wanted. And now here we are.
CBD now is suddenly that thing that everyone's an expert on and everyone's selling a CBD oil.
Yeah.
But not all CBD oils are the same. So what should they be looking for?
Make sure that it is a pure isolate if that's what you're looking for and you are someone who is in a career where you can't risk not passing a drug test. I think that's huge.
And how will they know that? Is it labeled as
such? Yeah, it'll be called a pure isolate. I think it's also really important to know that you're getting CBD from an American United States farm. A lot of these CBD companies, what they're doing now in order to fill the mass production is they're outsourcing to China. They're outsourcing to these other places to get the plant. And anytime you're crossing borders like that, it just, the quality of the CBD is just not as high. And we're really passionate that we will always be an American soil company. So I think that's huge. Making sure that it's 100% organic, I think, is huge as well.
Yeah,
I think checking out the source, checking out the reviews, making sure it's not sketchy. If it's from Amazon, honestly, it stinks. I wish, business side, I wish I could sell it on Amazon, but a lot of them are pretending that it's full CBD, but really it's just MCT oil, water, and maybe a little bit of CBD. So they're lying to you and they're selling to you for $12. CBD is a high quality supplement, and I think that it should be something that isn't cheap.
Is there a regulating body that oversees or governs quality, or is it self-regulated?
It's self-regulated, yeah. And so that's where, again, there's a lot of these farm bills that are being passed. A lot of things are changing right now, which is great in favor of CBD. But as you guys can probably assume at this point, the reason why there is so much controversy with CBD in the pharmaceutical industry is, well, the doctors don't want, you know, the pharmaceutical industry doesn't want that coming out, that this can help you with anxiety
for
or
sure.
you with your pain management, because you have a prescription to something and they want you to be on that. So
it has these anti-inflammatory, they're really concerned about our well-being.
Yeah.
It has these anti-inflammatory properties. What is it about CBD oil that helps with pain management?
Yeah, it's interesting. It's what's interesting about CBD is it essentially stimulates different aspects of your brain. And then when we were born with an endocannabinoid system, which is really cool.
Wow, I'd have to practice saying that.
I know, endocannabinoid system. If you've taken science class, a receptor, it's like a lock and a key. Any mammal has this. Our bodies were actually made to take in cannabis, which is crazy because then that brings up the whole topic of, is it safe when you're pregnant? Can I give it to my baby? Again, I'm not legally allowed to say that right now, but at the same time, I'm like, that's so beautiful and incredible that God made our bodies with this endocannabinoid system that's ready to take in this plant. Mm-hmm. So it's like our central nervous system is almost prepared for it, which is really great. So most people are taking it for anxiety, sleep, and pain issues.
How do you dose appropriately? Is there
That's the $1 million question.
Also, when people are looking mm-hmm. for a quality cannabis yeah. product, obviously you want to check the link below this episode and you can check out Soul CBD. That's what mm-hmm. Brett and I and Rocco. Our dog, use. How would somebody know, number one, what milligrams to look for and yep. how to dose?
Absolutely. This is the tricky question since everybody's system is going to respond differently to CBD. So I would always start with the lowest dosage. The great thing is that your body will flush it out. There isn't any harmful side effects. There's no psychoactive side effects. There is nothing harmful as far as your liver or any of your organs. So knowing that if you take way too much, the worst thing that could possibly happen is you get sleepy a little bit, but there really isn't any hardcore adverse reactions. I would start with the smallest amount on the tincture that you are using. So for example, for ours, our 150 milligrams, I'll take like one full dropper a day, two full droppers, but that's me, right? So
Do you take them at a particular time of day?
So I take one in the morning if I'm feeling really anxious, and then I'll take one at night. And then we just came out with sleep capsules. So I'll do the sleep capsules at night, which is awesome.
Why a capsule instead of a dropper?
It assimilates into the body faster. So before people go to sleep, they want to do that. And then it also has some melatonin in it too. Yeah, I think it's something where it's tricky, right? My brother, who's an athlete, who's in pain, he can take up to 300 milligrams a day. He'll be completely fine and he's okay. And it's not a big deal. I just came back from our farm in Kentucky the other day. I probably took 300 milligrams. We were testing in all of our new flavors and we were just having fun at the lab.
Did you have any side effects? Did you feel sleepy?
I mean, I was just relaxed.
I can't say that I've ever felt sleepy. I don't know if it's maybe placebo effect that somebody might think that they feel sleepy.
I think they will. But again, that's where people get confused. They're like, can I take this at work? I'm like, yeah, you can take it at any time.
People are so funny
day.
About it. They're like, oh, Shalene, like whispering in the corner, come here. Psst, psst. Dude, what are your thoughts on CBD?
Yeah.
I'm like, it's not
no different
like
it's than turmeric
you're going to get high from. Like, really, it's interesting how people associate it with the THC. Why is it you or would you consider branching off into THC? Because I really, I mean, for me personally, I really think that the problem we have in this country with suicide related to heroin deaths, which for so many of them, you can trace them back to a kid who was put on opiates, who are put on painkillers from, you know, a broken arm or a surgery they had in high school. And the next thing you know, they're addicted. They can't get them anymore. And they get addicted to heroin. And the rate of suicides and accidental overdoses in this country that we can trace back to painkillers. I mean, to me, it's like, how are we not looking at alternatives?
Yeah. And again, even when I got into this industry, I'm from Chicago, I'm from the Midwest. Cannabis and marijuana is seen as something that's super taboo to talk about, getting high. Oh my gosh, I've always been a very clean person. So for me, of course, initially I was like, what is this? I don't know. I never smoked weed. I've smoked weed maybe a few times in my life. So I was a little bit nervous
too. But you didn't inhale.
Yeah. I mean, I just, you know, so again, I can see where people are confused about it, but there's something so beautiful about seeing someone who's in pain and seeing someone, especially I love, I mean, I've seen my brother in a lot of pain as an athlete, and to know that some of these blends that are a 50-50, which means 50% of the pen is CBD, 50% is THC. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And for them to take something like that, and again, they're not getting stoned or high. It's not like they're like out of it. They're completely fine. It's just their pain is alleviated a little bit. to see that, like, makes me emotional, because I think seeing someone you love in pain is the worst, right? And if I could get everybody in this world out of pain, I would.
Yeah.
You can't function when you're in pain. You can't run your business. You can't be a great brother, husband. You can't do anything if you're in pain.
It is incredibly debilitating. It is insane what pain can do to someone.
I am definitely not against a little bit of THC. If you're someone listening who's in pain, or you have any brain disorders or seizures, people use it a lot for seizures now, children, and that's where CBD really got popular, is they were using it for children with seizures. I just think, listen, if you're doing it to hang out in your basement and get stoned, that's a different podcast, different episode.
Right.
Using it for pain management and knowing that it can be a very healing plant is really powerful. And I definitely think people should be more open-minded to exploring it.
Well, yeah. When I tore my hamstring, I had a hamstring avulsion last June. Ooh, and it was incredibly painful.
Sounds really painful.
All three hamstring muscles tore off the bone. Not a torn muscle, like ripped away from the bone.
Were you rollerblading or something?
Yeah, roller skating.
Look at me.
Yeah.
I'm so good. I knew it. I knew it. I was creeping on her.
The pain was insane.
This chick's like, cool. What just happened? At first, I thought it was a joke.
Oh, she knows when I'm in a lot of pain, I can't stop laughing. Yeah, people are like, someone's on painkillers. I'm like, no, not yet. But that's just my reactions. I usually start laughing. But and of course, you know, I had to put it all on social media.
Yeah, I was on Snapchat at the time. I remember.
Why not?
I was like, what happened?
But the pain was excruciating and I couldn't sleep. And I had done all this research and all this work to heal my gut. And the last thing I wanted to do was take a painkiller. And plus, they just don't react well with me. They make me hyper and itchy and keep me up. And they, you know, yeah, they alleviate the pain, but it just felt like it wasn't worth it. So I reached, you know, mentioned this in my social media, and so many people were like, listen, don't be afraid. You've got to try some THC, which I'm like, what does that mean? I was just picturing myself smoking weed and
Snoop Dogg style.
Exactly. So, you know, I called a place locally and I'm like, hello. Yes, I would like some something that includes marijuana. You know, I knew nothing. I didn't know the difference between THC or CBD and dosing or anything. I was just desperate to try something. But yeah, a 50-50 blend did not feel high. It just took the edge off. I had to figure out the right dosage so that I, you know, it didn't affect my sleep. But it was just enough to get me through those first, you know, that first week, really, where it wasn't painful to sleep or move.
Wow.
And what a lifesaver, because I'm telling you, I think there's so many people who are completely addicted to painkillers, and we've got to look into alternatives. So my question is, would you consider looking into manufacturing or expanding the Soul line to include THC? And what's that face? You look like hesitant or nervous or what?
Oh, I would love to. But as a business, now we're stepping into a whole different space with legalities of the industry.
Oh.
So we just brought in an investor, which is really exciting. We're expanding. And now we would have to assess with him, okay, now do we want to be in the CBD plus THC space? It's not as easy as saying, guys, new product line. We added THC. It's, gosh, borders. Now we got to deal with legalities. Now we are dealing with something that is illegal in a lot of other states, right? But with CBD, obviously, it's more open. So it's, yeah, I'm like, oh, I hope we can do it one day, because I know there's a lot of people in pain. And I think my brother would love to help out other athletes or people who have surgeries and injuries. But we'll see. I want us to come out with pens. We'll see what happens in the next 2-3 years. We're building to sell, and then we'll see what happens, just because it's such a crazy industry.
So talk to me about the stick that Brett uses. Is it a stick?
I'm like, what stick?
The stick and then proper dosage for pets.
Do you mean the roll-on pain cream?
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. I'm like, what stick? Did I send them a stick?
It looks like a deodorant.
Oh, there we go. Okay, so that's topical pain cream. So that's perfect if you have muscle pain.
He's always putting that on his knees.
Oh, that's so good. My brother loves it. It's got a lot of the numbing sensation in it. So I don't actually have any topical pain. So it's the one thing in our line I don't use.
I see.
But amazing reviews from that. And then we have the pet line, which is so great if your little furry one is a little hyper and they need to
hyper
calm down.
Or, you know, for Maui in his final years, he, you know, bless his heart, made it to 17 and a half years old, our black lab. But in the end, there were times where we couldn't tell if it was anxiety, separation anxiety, if you will, because he was going blind. And so if we walked away, he would start barking, you know. So we started giving him low dosages of CBD, and that really helped. And now we are doing the same with Rocco. But how does someone know, again, how to dose appropriately? Is this something they should talk to their vet about?
Yeah. Speak to your vet about it. But at the end of the day, I think finding the founders of a company, and that's why I love that we're so connected to the company and you know who the founders are, reaching out to the actual company and saying, hey, this is the situation that I'm in. Sometimes your vet, if they're not in California, they're not more of a holistic doctor. They're probably not, they may not be open-minded to it, even though I don't know what it is about pets, but their bodies respond very quickly and very well to CBD, almost better than humans. I'm going to say that. Not always, but it's just incredible. I mean, a huge part of our business is a pet line. Like, it's insane. People will not go 1 month without it for their pets because it just really helps, especially if you have an aging pet or your pet has any joint pain.
And can they just put the oil topically on top of the dog food? Do they need to put it directly into the dog's mouth?
You can, yeah. I'm just thinking of like how funny it is when you open the mouth, because some dogs love it. It tastes like bacon. So most dogs love it, but some are like, what is this? You just open their mouth real quick, drop it in really fast. I've noticed it helps puppies who have anxiety. Similar to humans, you're going to notice, you'll notice when you're not on it more so than when you are. So it's not something you take right away and then you feel a sensation like coffee. That's not a stimulant, right?
Right.
It's something where you'll go a few days, you'll stay consistent on it. It builds up in your system. And then all of a sudden one day you'll say, wow, this week was a little bit easier to manage, or I felt like I was able to control my emotions a little bit better. Oh, that's right. That's the biggest feedback we get, is that they were just able to function better, almost as if the edge was taken off, almost like a half a glass of wine. Like, oh, all right, I can handle today. That's the sensation. It's not a buzz. It's not a stimulant. It's not a suppressant. You're not going to be like, oh my God, what's going on? And so a lot of people are nervous. They're like, what's going to happen? I'm like, maybe nothing for the first week or so. Maybe you feel it after a month. And then we have people who write in and say, oh my God, I took one dropper full and I haven't slept like that in 10 years.
Wow.
So as you can tell, every single body is different and everybody's endocannabinoid system is going to respond different to it as well.
Is it legal in all states?
Not all.
Oh.
No. But slowly but and surely.
Why would it be legal?
Honestly, this is 2019 April, but in like 5 years, it's going to be the next turmeric. It's going to be in every single person's cabinet.
So
it's
what
going to
states
be like,
oh, is it legal in, I guess?
California, Colorado, obviously, mostly the hippie liberal states.
Are you serious? I did not know that. I thought it was, I knew that THC was not.
There's only,
legal
it's
in
most,
all states.
It's legal in most states. There's only a few right now that still have a little bit of a stick up their butt about it. So I'd have to look now. So what's going on is there's farm bills that are being passed and obviously changing every single week, like all of the time. So it's constantly being updated. But, what's great about it right now is if you are someone who you can travel with it, though, which is great. So like airports seem to be pretty normal about it. Like I pack it wherever I go because it's small and it's tiny. But yeah, I take it every single day. I sometimes will go, you know, a few days where I don't, but then I get back on it. But again, it's not like a medication where you have to worry about being on or off, which is
so
really nice.
What so what states are, do you know which states it's
no,
not?
No, you know what? I should look that up.
And so like, you know, not like I'm trying to find a workaround, but like if I live in a state where it's not legal, am I able to order it from a state where
so
it is?
Yeah, so you're still able to order it and we'll ship it to you. I'm just saying you probably won't see it at in the stores near you.
I gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But we're lucky. We live in California where it's...
When these things become incredibly popular and then the market gets flooded and then you start seeing CBD being labeled on other products... And there's a saturation of quality. Yep. What is your, as someone who cares so much about the quality, what is one of the things that you are concerned that you may see?
What I'm concerned with is this influx of the CBD gummies, and they're sticking it in sugar, and they're sticking it in cookies and baked goods. And so people are now consuming this thinking this is healthy and this is great. And I understand that the gummy is a gateway to maybe getting you comfortable with it. There's a market for that. There's a niche. But when we started the company, I said, Mike, we're never doing that. I don't want that to be what we're known for. We are a high-end company. We are known as a really high, pure quality tincture. That is what we do. We are an oil at the end of the day. That's our main seller. That's what we want to do. I just think that the gummies are essentially, they're the equivalent of Flintstones for supplements. Like you would never actually buy the Flintstones now and give those to your kids.
Well, some people do.
You'd go to Whole Foods or you'd go to a great naturopathic doctor and get the Metagenics, or you'd get the high quality that is a pure form of the supplement.
Yes, and by the way, last week, I check out that episode. I did a full episode on where you can find quality, reputable ingredients for supplements. And also shout out to Labdoor, a great site where you can find independent lab testing of supplements. But yeah, I mean, it, like you said, on Amazon, there's so many fake products and products that have you know, 10,000 positive reviews because people have been paid for those reviews. And so it is yeah. more difficult to find quality ingredients.
And being careful of the carrier oil. So a lot of them will use a really crappy oil, like, I don't know, canola oil or a weird vegetable oil. And then it kind of smells weird and it tastes weird. And that's really harmful for your gut. I know you're all about gut integrity. Ours and is a pure like, MCT.
That's something that's going to cause inflammation.
Yeah, literally. So you're taking CBD then with an oil that makes is inflammatory. No, so make sure it's, I would say, an MCT oil. We chose an MCT because I felt, and after doing a lot of research, that MCT is one of the most healing and safe oils that you can use in your body. So we'll notice a lot of people take it actually for like IBS. They'll be like, hey, I'm on your CBD oil, not for anxiety or sleep issues. I'm actually taking it for my gut and for IBS.
Well, sure, if it's an anti-inflammatory.
I'm like, okay, so people who have any gut issues as well or any digestive issues, it's really helpful. So as you can tell, once you guys start diving into the research, you'll hear the craziest testimonials. And again, we can't guarantee any of this legally, but it's insane some of the things that we hear. And it's just, it's amazing. It warms my heart to receive DMs every day.
And I love that people are really now becoming their own health advocate. You know, when it comes, everything we've talked about today is about becoming your own health advocate, right? Like figuring out like, okay, I need to become a detective. I have these breast implants. I don't feel well. I'm putting two and two together. It doesn't feel right for me. I've got pain and it doesn't seem like taking a painkiller, a traditional opiate is the right route for me. It's really becoming your own advocate, doing your research and realizing that there's a market out there that wants us to do something, right? And oftentimes it relates to money, bottom line, and big industry and marketing. And you know, when we become our own advocates, it's like taking back our own power.
Yeah, it is interesting. I feel like today we basically covered pharmaceuticals and the plastic surgery industry, which... Yeah, it is what it is, right? And using your brain and knowing that at the end of the day, you have to be your own doctor. You have to be your own health advocate because the government doesn't really care. And that's okay, right? Let's we could cry about it or we could take action.
That's right.
And so knowing that you're in control of your body, you're in control of what you eat, you're in control of what you put in it is amazing, actually. So
Angie, you're amazing. Thank you so much for being here. You are just an incredible young woman, and I love what you're doing, and I love your message, and I think you'll probably hear from a lot of people in our audience, and I hope that you've helped many people. Check out the links below. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast. You will not be disappointed. An incredible woman to follow on Instagram as well. Angie Lee, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. I appreciate you. This was so fun. Bye, guys.
Bye.